So we are going to continue on our story, and I want to bring it to a series conclusion today in this story of John 3:16. John 3:16, John 3:16 Christmas, and we're taking a look at Christmas through the lens of this beautiful text, one that we have known, many people have memorized, and so many people are familiar with. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his one only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And through the lens of Christmas, we want to look at that. Today, we get to the fourth in this series, and it is the one where I would call it the call to action. The call to action. Now, if you go to any website, and you're looking at these websites trying to figure out what's happening and what do they want from me, you're going to find that they have very clearly figured out what they need to ask. What is the call to action? Here's a couple examples. So first, here's the Story brand, and these guys are masters at this. A couple of weeks ago, I used some of their stuff to unpack the story of Christmas in terms of that. But when you look at a website nowadays, this is often what you'll see. Just ignore all the other stuff. There's lots of imagery and people smiling and all those kinds of things. But you'll usually find something very simple put out there. But on the top right-hand side, and it's almost always the top right-hand side, there is a call to action. And the call to action, if the website's well-designed, will be repeated again right in the middle or just maybe at the lower part of the screen. And as you scroll through the website, you're going to find that it'll probably be repeated again. And in this case, the call to action, it's maybe hard to see here, but it's the big green button that says register now. So it tells you workshops to help clarify your message. Register now. What do you think they want you to do? Anyone got a hint? Register now, right? And if you're like me, though, whenever you look at a website, it calls you to action. You're sitting there thinking, I'm not going to register. You think you're going to get me that easily? I don't think so. And so for guys like me who resist making decisions, because I'm always sure there's a better alternative out there, they have a leader, a secondary action, and it might be something like on this site where it says, watch video. That's the secondary one. And so if you're not prepared to register now, then they perhaps would give you a secondary one that's less threatening. It's not as demanding on you, but it's certainly keeping to draw you into the story. Let's go to the second website. This is my favorite database that I like to develop, and FileMaker Pro, and this is their website. And they have very clearly identified the problem that they are addressing, stuck in a rut. So right away you're getting that feeling nice and bright. And there's that big blue button in this case, top right-hand side, says buy. Buy. Now, they haven't distinguished it quite as well as the other website, but it's pretty clear. It's different color, and it says buy. Now, many people are going to go to this website and go, I don't know if I want to buy it right now. I mean, I'm still just looking at it. And so guess what? They put another little option there, another blue button, free trial. Free trial. Well, that's not threatening. That's not difficult. It doesn't cost me anything. I could just try it. You know, so always there's this call to action and oftentimes a secondary action. Let's go to one more. This is the company my son works for, Traction Guest. It's a local company here in Burnaby. And once again, can't you see, as soon as you go to the website, doesn't that button jump out at you? There's one right there on the top right, and there's one right there in the center. And they identify what they're doing, and then they have their call to action, which is book a demo. And if you go on there and click, you may even find yourself getting a call from Hayden Stebeck saying, thank you so much for booking a demo. We'd be pleased to come by and set something up with you. You know, like it's book a demo. So they have gone a little bit easier. They don't want people to buy, probably because it's more complicated. It's a lot more involved. They just want to talk to you and enter into a conversation before they do it. But this is their clear call to action. Book a demo. And then if you want, there's other buttons, learn, about, things that you could explore and look at, but they're not as bright and bold as the clear call to action. You know what they want you to do, book a demo. Now, we were talking about John 3:16. So what would a website for us look like? Well, here's, I'll make it real simple. Here's a, not a website, but let's just say there's a picture of Jesus teaching to the crowd, and there's a big button there, and it says, "Believe now." Okay? "For God so loved the world, he sent his only one and only son into the world. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." That's the John 3:16 Christmas message we're talking about. And we'd say, what's the big ask there? Whoever believes in him will not perish. Everything else is secondary to the call to action that you are given here. And the call to action, I'm going to say, is believe. Believe in Jesus. And if I were to build a website like this, I'd probably scroll down and put it again at the bottom. Believe now. Believe now. Right? You can accept Jesus right now. This is the call to action. Would you believe in him now? Do you want to believe in Jesus? Now, there's those, of course, who would say, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not quite ready to jump that far in. I don't think I know enough. Or, you know, fair enough. And so we might have a secondary one. And it might be learn more. You know, if I were Jesus putting my marketing out there right now, I might put my picture, you know, "Is your life messed up? You know, believe me. Follow me." Jesus might actually write, "Follow me." That might be his call to action, right? Follow me. And if you don't, say, "Read my story." How about we put that as, if you're not sure you want to follow, how about you just start by reading my story? You know, click on this. We'll send you a copy of the story of Jesus, and you can learn more about him. But then we still want to come to the big question, are you ready to believe now? So there's an action. There's a call to action that we have in the Bible. Now, when we look at the John 3:16 story, that call to action is reflected in the Christmas story. Belief in Jesus. It's there. It's there when Joseph believed in God. It's there when Joseph looked and said, "I don't know. I think I should divorce Mary. I think I should have her put away. I'm not going to get her stoned. I don't want to go that far, but I'm going to at least put her aside and break the marriage. I think it's okay." And he's, "That's what I'm going to do. I'll do it in the morning." And then he goes to bed, and at nighttime the Lord visits him in a dream and says, "No, Joseph, don't do that. I need you to trust me. I need you to believe in me. That which is happening is exactly what I want to happen." So everything within Joseph says, this is not right. But he chooses to believe in God. And when he wakes up, he actually takes Mary to be his wife, and he doesn't go with what he thought. He believes God, and he goes that direction. The shepherds believed in God. They heard the angel, and then they heard the choir spelling it out. And this Savior has been born for us tonight in the town of David. So maybe it's not the buy now button, but they dug a little deeper. Maybe they didn't click on the, oh, okay. They didn't rush out and tell everybody, "Hey, a Savior's been born. A Savior's been born." What did they do? You know what? Why don't we check it out? Why don't we go to the city of David? I believe these guys are legit. Let's go check it out. And they went and they found him exactly like the angel said. So a little bit of investigation. They dug a little bit in. And as they dug in a little bit deeper, they realized this is true. There's validity to what's being said here. And so then they left and went and told everybody what they had seen, what had happened, and that Jesus was born. They believed. Then there were the wise men who saw a star, wise men who'd heard prophecies from the people of David. Now, wise men from the east, don't forget, Israel had lived for many years in the east. The Jewish people were well known. In the east, their communities had grown. They were prospering as people, and they had a lot of influence in the nation. And the wise men that were there, people who had interacted with Daniel, people who had interacted with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, Nehemiah, and some of these other prophets, people of God who had shared the stories of a Messiah, of a king who would be born, of God's plan and what was going to happen. And wise men who wondered if this could be and then saw a star. And in however they researched it, I have no idea how they came to the conclusion that this star must mean that the king is born. But they believed enough that they got on camels and they booked it for Bethlehem, booked it for Israel. Didn't know exactly where they're going, but the star will lead us. The star will lead us. They believed that God was doing something. And then there was Herod. What about Herod? Did Herod believe? Herod's an interesting guy. Did he believe? There's actually some evidence that he did. And he got rattled. Did you know that you rarely get rattled unless you believe something, right? Right? You rarely get rattled, right? If I said to Evan, "Hey, Shorty," you're not going to get rattled. So you don't believe you're Shorty, are you? No, you're not. So why would it bother you? Why would it bother? But if I, this is terrible. If I said, "Hey, Beanpole," you know, or something, okay? You're tall and slender. How's that? You know, Evan like, so if Evan believes he is a beanpole, then he might get bothered by that. I'm upset by that because it's a reflection of belief that might be there, right? And I think I think Herod was worried that there would be a king born. He was worried that God might do something. Something might happen to usurp his thing, and he's insecure about it. And when they say a king is going to be born, he believes them. And he's not about to let this go. He's not laughing them off. He's not brushing them off as insignificant. He believes. But there's something different about his belief. There's something that's not correct about his belief. So when we talk about believing in God, Herod kind of reminds us that it's something different. It doesn't quite go the way he does. He believed, but he saw Jesus as a threat. He saw Jesus as somebody undermining him. And then he goes and has the entire village of Bethlehem, the children 2 and under, killed, under the age of 2. Killed. That's a pretty serious action from a guy who believes if a real, genuine threat is there. Belief. So what do we learn about this belief? It's in the Christmas story, people believing in God, people believing that something great is happening. But belief is the action word. Belief is what we're asking you to do. Believe now in Jesus Christ. And it's an action word. So I just want to walk through the three elements of this action that belief wrestles out of us, okay? Belief is an action word. First of all, it is belief in a journey of discovery. It's belief in a journey of discovery. Timothy Keller unpacks an idea in his book, Making Sense of God, that there is two ways that we look at search for meaning in life, okay? One, which is common in our culture, which is we create meaning. In other words, we make up meaning and say, that's what I'm going to believe. Okay, we don't act, so there's created meaning. So I believe that you can do whatever you want and it doesn't matter. And we have to do that because if we've been taught evolution is correct, and if we're taught that we are all just animals and there is no God, and then therefore searching for meaning is ridiculous pursuit. Why would you search for meaning when we are just the confluence of genetic materials? So the idea of searching for meaning is just terrible. In fact, the more you look at it, the more depressing it gets. The more you look at the evolutionary thought, the more you think about the fact that why bother believing in anything? Because in the end, we're just going to die anyways. Even if you thought, well, I'd rather be Mahatma Gandhi or Mother Teresa than I would Adolf Hitler, in the end, who cares? Eventually, the sun will burn up, the universe will die, none of us will be remembered. So as your noble efforts to be Mother Teresa versus Adolf Hitler is really meaningless because it is just the way it is. You know, so pursuing that avenue is depressing. In fact, you have to actually discipline yourself to not think about it. So what you do is you don't try to discover meaning, you just try to create it. I believe that all things will work out. I believe that all roads lead to Rome, all roads lead to heaven. If you're a good person, you'll get there. And we'll just create meanings. And we love it. We watch Christmas stories where you just have to believe the magic. We need the belief in Christmas to go up. If the belief in Christmas will go up, we'll be okay. And we even gather around sometimes common beliefs. Yeah, I make up one and you like it and we'll all get together and say, yeah, we all like this belief. And so we'll all kind of maybe share that belief a little bit. But it's just still the beliefs of our creation. Versus discovering objective meaning. discovering truths, discovering realities that are there for us to discover, that we don't create, that we don't influence, they just are. And that's the concept of God, the concept that God is doing something. It's the idea that God is there in our world, and our journey, our belief is a journey of discovery to find out what God is doing. So the scripture calls us to believe. It doesn't say whoever has a lot of belief will not perish. It doesn't. It says whoever believes in him. In him. Jesus Christ is the key factor here. We need to understand who he is. And I'm going to put my belief not in what I create, but in who he is. That's what we're called to. The action on our part is actually, this is what's weird about it, is to be a Christian, you actually have to think more rationally, because you have to use your mind and you have to investigate truth and you have to figure out what the meaning is and you have to learn to submit to that. So you have to learn to say, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? And you use investigation and you probe things and you think about it and you probe the future and you learn from the past. But if you're not a Christian, you actually have to stop your rational thinking and you have to just go in the flow and make up what you want for the moment. Isn't that kind of ironic? Because what is the accusation of the Christian faith? The accusation against us is that we are actually people who are just blindly trusting something. You know, it's actually quite the opposite. We're people who are digging and investigating to find out who God is and what he says and what he's done so that we can put our faith in it, so that we can believe in it and understand it, not what I'm creating, but what God is doing. That's what we're trying to do. So you see the action here? You see the action of in believing in Christ? The wise men would journey so far to find out what it is, that the shepherds would go and investigate to see if it was true. There is this action of belief that leads us into a place of investigation and learning and discovering who Christ is. So here's what it says in John 1. John, and maybe why I appreciate John's Christmas story, if you could call it that. John's introduction to the life of Jesus went like this. The true life that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. The Bible calls, John says, let me encapsulate the story of what God is doing. And now let me call you to have belief in this story, in this person who we're going to unpack for you, the person of Jesus Christ. Who's come into the world. You want to believe in God, you get to go on this journey of investigating and learning who he is. Secondly, belief, an action word, the call to action, to believe in him. It says, it's about surrender to Jesus. We are called to believe in him, and that belief encapsulates surrendering to Christ. Just like the wise men who walked the long journey, and when they got there, they bowed down and they offered gifts and they worshiped him. A lot of people wonder about this worship. They say, what is going on with worship? Worship is simply another word for saying surrender, yield, to demonstrate that I'm lower, you're greater, right? So you can worship your spouse. In a idolatrous way, you'd say, oh, I don't want to worship my spouse. But you can worship your spouse. You can honor them, and you can esteem them worthy, and you can say, you are so wonderful, you're so amazing. If you can't find the words, you go down to the store, they give you a Hallmark card, and it tells you for it. When you give it to her, it's an act of worship. You are amazing. And even get low, you know, like, get low. You are, you know, this is the action. In a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible calls us to an action of belief that surrenders. Belief that comes and yields itself before the master. Joseph did this. In the story of Joseph, he was in his mind determining what he would do, what was right in his eyes to do. But when he believed in God, he decided to yield his ways. He decided to lay them down and say, my will would be to divorce her, but God, not my will, but yours be done. I just here to surrender before you. And so the Christian life, the life of following Christ, the life of believing in him, is one where we take all those things that we naturally are driven by and yield them to God. That's why when people say, well, you can't expect young people to abstain before marriage. See, yes, I can. Yes, I can. But that's, you know, it's not normal. That's exactly right. It's exactly right. It's not normal. Everything in your flesh says to do it. But a surrendered will to God says, but not my will, but yours be done. And so our actions, even our abstinence or our lack of actions sometimes, are acts of worship to God whereby we say, Lord, I surrender this to you. I surrender this to you. And he's okay. And so when the world tells us what? They tell us all kinds of messages. We come and we surrender them to the Lord and we say, not my will, but yours be done. We surrender to God. People who are fully devoted followers of Jesus do not just surrender once in Christ. when you click on the believe now button, it's not like you click now, pay your $20, get your item, and then you walk away from that website and never look at it again. I bought this watch years ago. You know, I could click buy the watch, gets delivered, I'm done. I never see that website again. That's how we tend to think of our purchases. But we live in a world where we understand the new way of doing things, right? It's not pay now, it's subscribe. You are caught in a never-ending web of interaction with a company that you despise half the time, but you got to keep paying those monthly payments or they cut off your Netflix and you don't get to watch it anymore, right? Like, it's how we live our lives. We subscribe. We enter into a contract, to a relational contract whereby if you keep paying me this, I will keep giving you this. I'll keep streaming Disney to your channel if you want to watch Disney. If you don't, just stop paying and we'll cut it off. Stop paying your hydro bill and see how long they agree to send hydro your way. Right? They will stop. They will just cut it off and you will get no more hydro. So we enter into a relationship with God. It's an act of surrender. But it's actually more of a subscription-based relationship where we say, Lord, I surrender today. I live for you today. And you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to surrender again. And I'm going to build a relationship where I'm going to click that red today. Every morning, I'm going to click it. I believe today. I believe today. I believe today. And I'm going to enter into that relationship. But it's not going to be negative like those bills that kill you every month. Cell phones, aren't they the worst? Cell phone bills. This is more of that blessed, beautiful relationship. This is more like when you said, I do to your partner, and she put a ring on her finger, and then you got married, and every day you get to get up and renew that pledge of love. That's the relationship we have with Jesus. Okay, surrender to him. And then lastly, I wanted to just highlight the belief that leads to whole life commitment. The belief that leads to whole life commitment. Okay, and in this, there's no better illustration than Mary, who pondered all these things in her heart, who every day lived with the beauty of what God was doing, who started as a young child just surrendering her life to the Lord, and then the visit by Gabriel says, you're going to have a child. That's not a one-time thing. That's not a one-day event. That's I'm going to raise the Messiah. Every day I'm going to get up and I'm going to have to take care of this little baby and raise him. And she got this prophecy right at the very beginning that said, there's going to be much sorrow here. Oh, ouch. I don't want to hear that one. But Mary committed that, Lord, whatever it takes, I will be the mother to your Messiah. I will do that, Lord. I am the Lord's handmaiden. May it be to me as you say. Joseph took Mary as his wife. Joseph also had to look every day at that child and love him as his own. Joseph had to look at that child and say, that's our child. It's God's son, but I'm going to nurture him and encourage him. And Jesus learned the way of the carpenter from his father. And the way of the carpenter was how he learned how to do his ministry, how he learned how to work with others, how he learned to give leadership, how he learned to build apprentices. I mean, it was through his hands of his father who taught him the way of the carpenter. The wise men who made the journey, the wise men who not only went once but took riches with them, who took gold with them. I mean, that was not a small journey. It was a pretty big sacrifice. There was a big commitment to that. The shepherds who went and told everyone the story. Once you articulate something, it's tough to go back on it, right? Once you say something publicly, people heard it. How do you go back on it? And so that's why we say one of the first things you do when you begin to follow Jesus is you learn how to share with other people. Tell other people, I made a decision to follow Jesus. They go, what? When you make that statement, it's like you're committing yourself. I've now said it. I've made it public. That's why we practice water baptism and why it's such a great, great symbol of the journey we've had, because you will publicly, in front of people, commit that as far as lies within me, I will surrender my life to Jesus and serve him the rest of my life. And you get plunged into water and brought back up, and you say, that's just so packed with meaning in the demonstration of a life. It's not just belief that's in your head that you made up. It's not just belief that makes you feel better. It's belief that leads you to a commitment of your whole life to say, I surrender my whole life to you. Our action is to maintain the relationship with the Lord as top priority. Jesus holds out for us something eternal, beyond our comprehension. But it is not something to be handed out and run away with. It's bound up in him. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. In Jesus is eternal life. John said it. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is light. We beheld this light. What are we looking for? We're looking for peace, eternal peace. We're looking for light. We're looking for all goodness. All of these things are the attributes of Jesus Christ. And if you want to have that, then when you click on the believe now, you're entering into a commitment of your life to a person, a relationship. And so the action of that belief is to maintain the relationship. And how many of you know relationships take work? How many of you know that you have to set aside time, that you have to stop being so busy, and you have to take a little time and be with someone? You have to, you know, spend quiet times together. You have to have talks. You can't just ignore each other. Relationships disintegrate. So we put effort into them to build relationships with our kids, with our spouse, with our friends. We take time. And that's what this action of commitment is calling us to. It's committing to prioritizing a relationship for us. So I'd like you to call you to action today. I'd like you to click on the Believe Now button. I'd like you to, you know, we've talked for 4 weeks about John 3:16 Christmas. We've talked about God loves you. We've talked about the consequence that perishing is involved, that eternal destiny is on the line. There's drama in this, and what decision will you make? And there's a plan in place. The plan is Jesus Christ. The plan is his death on the cross can pay for your sin. That's laid out for you. And now it's the call to action. Believe. And I actually want to encourage you today. Believe in Jesus Christ. And I would challenge you, if there's anyone in this room right now or listening maybe online to the sermon later, if you have not asked Jesus into your life, why not right now? Okay? Just imagine in your head there's a big web page and I'm asking you to click. Go ahead. Do it. Do it. Click the Believe Now button. You say, oh, I'm nervous. Well, let me allay your fears a little bit, okay? Okay? You're never going to be swindled. You're never going to be caught up in a contract where it's going to take lawyers to get you out of it. Okay? You are being invited to take a step and believe in Jesus. And like a marriage, you will be given the freedom at any time you want to walk away. That's always your freedom. And so what I'm asking you to believe now, I'm asking you to say, yeah, I want to take that step. Some of you say, well, I'm not quite sure I'm ready yet. Is there a learn more button? Is there a watch the video button? Is there a book a demo button? Well, yes, there is. And we presented a lot of them to you. And some of you, maybe this is too new for you. This is too much in your face, and you're, I'm not sure I'm ready for that yet. Fair enough. You are welcome to explore and go on the journey. But many of you, I think, have heard enough. I think you've got it now. I think you've figured out what's involved, what we're asking, and you figured out what we're talking about. It's just a case of this. Will you or will you not believe? Believe in Christ. Will you believe in Him? If you choose believe now, here's what you're going to do. If you click on the button, normally you're sent to a page that says enter your credit card and your name. And immediately when you hit click, the money's going to be pulled out of your credit card, right? That's what happens. And you say, well, okay, what's going to happen if I click to believe now? You're going to be told this. You're going to say, confess. Confess your sin. Confess the condition of your heart. Confess that you need a Savior. Confess that you believe in Him. Tell Him that you believe in Him. You're going to be asked to surrender. Just as I've mentioned in my message, you're going to be asked to let go. Let go of control. Let go of having to have it your way. Let go of saying, I will only ask Jesus in my heart if I get to always make the decisions. No, doesn't come with this deal. You can walk away from the deal, but you don't get the option of changing this, okay? The option that's presented by God is all or nothing. Surrender your life to Him. That's what you're going to be asked. And you're going to be asked to make a commitment. You're going to be asked to make a commitment. When you ask to click believe now, you're going to be said, will you ask Jesus into your heart and will you commit your life to Him? That I will go on this journey, Lord, of unpacking all that you've done for me. And every day I'll look for what you want of me and I'll read your word and I'll just learn more about you and I'm going to go on this journey in life with you. That's my commitment. I want to do that. That's what you're going to be asked to do. So it sounds scary. It's at the core of our person, which is control. We don't want to let go of that. But it actually is not that tricky. And the good thing is this doesn't cost anybody. You don't have to have a credit card. You don't have to have any money at all. You don't have to have saved up a down payment even. Okay? 100%, everything's going to be supplied for you. You just need to say, yes, I believe. That's what the call is. That's what the gospel is. That's what the Christmas story is launching for us, the story of your ability to be saved. Will you believe now? Let me just close our eyes and pray, and the worship team's going to come back up. Lord, as I pray right now, I do want to be sure that everyone in this room has truly had the opportunity to respond to your call to action. And as I pray, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit would speak into our hearts. Your Holy Spirit would touch our lives and help us to be honest with ourselves, to help us to be true to what we're hearing in our hearts from you, and guide people in how to respond. While your eyes are still closed and your head's bowed, because I want this to be a personal moment, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you prepared to believe now? And I'm asking specifically, first of all, for those who have not. You've realized I've never taken up Jesus and His offer. I've sat here. I've explored His life. I've looked at things. I've been around for a long time, but I've never actually done the click. I've never confessed. I've never acknowledged. I've never surrendered. Today is your day. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask if you want to believe now, put your hand up. Put your hand up. Thank you. Anyone else? How many others would put their hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. Yes, yes. Thank you. You can put your hands down. How many others? Thank you. I do want to ask the question for those of us, we've been, people like me and many of you, we've been following Jesus a long time. But somewhere along the line, we wandered away. And we stopped believing. You know, every day we used to get up and commit ourselves to him. And we haven't done that in ages. And today is just that day where we realize, Lord, I need to do it like I did the very first time. I just need to come back and say, I believe in you. I want to follow you. And if that's you today, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to get this going again. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I want to pray for you right now, Lord Jesus. For these that have just raised their hand, I ask that, Lord God, you would speak into their lives right now. This is a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made. You renew all things. You make them good. May the chorus of heavenly angels break that song out in our hearts today and in their life, saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill to men. Today, a Savior has been born for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would right now begin that process that you promised of renewal, the promise of making all things new, the promise of presence, that you will be with us, the promise of forgiveness of sins. Lord, forgive sin right now. And I pray that haunting sin that's in the minds of some of these people right now, that bugs them, that sits there and it's reminding them all the time, I pray in the name of Jesus, forgive it. And Lord, apply your forgiveness to them right now, and may they be aware and alive in the reality that they are forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this, Lord. Set us free, I pray, in your precious name. Your precious name, amen.